When Fede Aaron became a mother, she had lots of questions about how to get her son to eat fresh whole foods, so she turned to the experts and asked 20 top chefs, who are also parents, how they cook for their kids. And she's compiled their tips and guidelines in What Chefs Feed Their Kids, Recipes and Techniques for Cultivating a Love of Good Food. It's published by Lions Press. Mark Murphy, executive chef and owner of Benchmark Restaurants, which includes Landmark and Ditch Plains, was one of the chefs that she turned to for advice. And they were on our show in November. I began by asking, what makes kids picky eaters? Does anybody know?
Well, picky eating really is a fear of trying new foods. And what you want to do when you start introducing your kids to food is you really want to introduce them broadly to foods. You want to get them into the idea of constantly eating new foods.
Well, do you think that that fear of new foods is actually something that is wired into us? Because when we were out on the savannas in the early years of humanness, it probably was dangerous to eat certain things.
Well, I actually don't agree. I think chefs who are pregnant, I interviewed a chef, Anna Sortun, and she spoke about this. She's from Boston. And when she was pregnant and when she was breastfeeding, she didn't restrict her diet at all. She was eating a really wide variety of foods all throughout. And consequently, her child was acclimated to all these different flavors because the flavors of breast milk will change with the diet of the mother.
Mark, you have two daughters?
No, I have a daughter and a son.
Did you have any theories when they were born about how you were going to feed them?
Oh, no. I was just scared enough just having children. I wasn't worried about much else, just figuring out how to raise them and not mess it up.
Well, yeah, but at a certain point, you had to start thinking, how am I going to do this so that my kids actually eat good food?
Yeah, well, being a chef in a restaurant, you always, I can remember even as a cook, you know, you'd send out a bowl of pasta to a kid and then you'd throw some parsley on it, they'd send it back and they'd say, oh, the kid's not going to eat it, there's something green on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I mean, it's parsley. It's, you know, I think the most important thing for me, at least with my kids, is just don't let anybody else say they don't like anything or they're scared of food. It's just, they take on our bad habits very quickly. And when somebody says, oh, I don't eat that, or I don't like that, or oh, I'm scared of that, they can say, oh, there's a license for me to be able to say that about things. And I think that's something that's very important, is to not give them the sort of an excuse to be able to have an excuse in a certain sense.
Well, I've always wondered why kids, at least the cliche is that kids don't like spinach. Spinach is delicious, but is it simply because it's green?
I think it's because a lot of foods, like liver, like certain things like that, the kids don't like it. It's because people don't know how to cook it correctly. I mean, if you take spinach and just blanch it and you don't have any salted water, the water's not salted, it doesn't taste good to an adult. It's hilarious to me. I was at somebody's house recently and they made steamed broccoli for the kids and they put it in front of them. And I said, that's what you feed your kid? You're not going to put any salt and pepper or some olive oil on it? I mean, steamed broccoli, that's hospital food. I don't like it either. I mean, it's you got to put some seasoning on this food for the kids to like it.
Is that why you approached professional chefs, Fawny, rather than other parents or pediatricians or nutritionists?
Yes. Early on, I really wanted to learn how to feed my son so that he would grow up and want to eat with me and we would have this great relationship over food. And I started calling around chefs, and I really realized they are approaching this in a completely different way. They are really bringing their kids into their world of food, and they're sharing their enthusiasm, and really it's working. Their kids are eating well off the kids' menu.
Well, most of us wouldn't know how to approach famous chefs with any cooking questions or anything else. You're an art director in the film business, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. I really don't have
a career. So did you offer people free passes?
Is that it? No, I actually I did a lot of research. I wanted to speak to chefs that I thought would be articulate.
And were they
it.
Open to talking about this? I'm sure every chef has thought about this.
Well, of course, because it's very important to them. How they feed their own families, of course, is primary. But I wanted to reach out to people that were insightful, that really took on doing it.
Well, Mark, one of my staff members, who's the daughter of a well-known chef, says that her parents just seemed so enthusiastic about the things that he brought home from his restaurant that it piqued her curiosity. And They also told her that she didn't have to eat anything she didn't want to, so she never felt coerced, and that was important.
Yeah, I usually tell my kids, try it. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. And, you know, when they're not hungry anymore, they're not hungry anymore. We don't need to overfeed them. I mean, one thing that sort of I think is a difficult part with raising children is the whole concept of snacking all the time. A lot of the times the kids get to dinner, they're not hungry because they've eaten so much stuff already during the day. It doesn't matter if it's spinach or foie gras or filet mignon or chicken nugget. They're full.
But there is a difference when one of your parents is a chef or a very good cook. My mother was a lousy cook. And, you know, I'm not sure that – I mean, it took me a while to start really appreciating food if your parent is a good cook or a chef. I mean, the food's going to be flavorful from the start. You'll never serve broccoli that doesn't have salt and pepper and olive oil or butter.
Or say a steak well done, I think doesn't, you know, you're chewing on it for a half hour. You serve it nice and medium rare or rare, it's a lot better product. And I think that's something as far as I'm concerned, it's just you make it taste good and they're going to eat it as long as they're hungry.
What are some of the other guiding principles that chefs told you?
I think it's also the approach that they take. They really have chefs start out every meal. It's almost like a new beginning and a new adventure. They have a lot of tools at their disposal. They have a lot of foods, different kinds of interesting foods in their pantries, and they cook with their kids. So already their kids are so involved in the process that by the time the food gets to the table, they're already involved, and that's a big part of it.
Well, you can go through this book and cook these recipes for adults as well.
That's really the point, is that everybody's eating together. The pureed foods are foods that really are just a component of a larger meal that you can have as a family.
Aren't there a lot of guidelines as to what to feed babies? There are concerns that a lot of the prepared baby foods, the jarred baby foods, have sugar in them. So, Mark, did you make your own baby foods?
You know, my wife actually did do a little bit of the steaming things and doing some of the homemade prepared foods. But, you know, you're living in New York City and there's 1,000 things going on. You've got 2 kids. Sometimes it just doesn't always work. You have to resort back to the jarred foods. You got to feed the kids. You got to get them to, you know, this or that. And you got to get the other. It's I don't think it's that bad. I think that. Look, I think most of the baby food, we have a pretty strict system in this country. We're not going to be feeding them something that's really, really that bad, I guess, especially for baby food.
But. Well, and talking about obesity, there are concerns that we get kids eating sugars way too fast, and then they develop a taste for it, and they never lose that.
Yeah, it's true. Cynthia Epps, an infant feeding specialist who's also interviewed for the book, she talks a lot about how you acclimate kids right from the beginning to savory flavors instead of sweet flavors. And that even starts with, you know, not giving the first food as rice cereal, which is a carbohydrate, instead giving a first food as an avocado or a squash or peas, and then rotating through those vegetables before you start adding the sweet flavors like apples and all the other.
And give them those things when they're too young to know any different, when they're too young to object.
Right, because really you're teaching kids. The idea is that you're teaching them how to eat.
Well, some people feed their kids separately, but Mark, you say it's always best to eat with your kids. Is that possible for you? Because you're working at mealtime, aren't you?
Yeah, I am working at mealtime. But, you know, my kids, and this is all my restaurants, Landmark and Ditch Plains, are very kid-friendly. And economically for me, for the business, it works. But also for my family, it works as well, where the kids are going to eat somewhere around 6:30, 7 o'clock, have dinner. I mean, when you're in a restaurant with a kid, it's usually going to last 45 minutes or an hour. And then by 8 o'clock, 8:30, that's when the older diners come in, or the people without kids, and the restaurant's back to what some people would call normal. And you're back at it. And that's, you know, for me, I can go home, have dinner with my kids, and then go back to work or try to take some nights off. And I think it's important to sit down with them and actually have a meal and eat things off the menu that they might be interested in, so they can try things. As you were saying, you know, the enthusiasm is a big part of it. Wow, this, you know, this pork shank tastes great, you know, and you just, you don't have to pretend like you're going to give it to the, they're going to ask you if you're that excited about how good it tastes.
Michael Pollan has a bunch of food rules, and one of them is that the family should always eat together. My guests are Chef Mark Murphy, executive chef and owner of Benchmark Restaurants, which include Landmark and Ditch Plains, and Fonny Aaron, who's written a book called What Chefs Feed Their Kids, Recipes and Techniques for Cultivating a Love of Good Food. It's published by Lions Press. Well, as the kids get older, they start developing their own theories. And I know a number of parents who've complained that one kid announces one day, I'm a vegetarian, and the next kid announces, I'm not eating fish ever, or whatever. And they feel like they're now running a restaurant with different dishes for each kid. Did you talk to the chefs about that?
Well, it's funny. I always remind kids that say they're vegetarians when they're young. I was like, well, you know, that means you eat vegetables. That doesn't mean that you eat pasta and bread, which I think is what most kids resort to.
And a lot of, by the way, a lot of people just are very happy to throw some noodles with butter in front of their kids. It's really easy to do.
Yeah, it is easy. It's very easy to resort to the, you know, those kid menu standards. But I think all the chefs really do embrace a wide variety of food. And so if a kid is coming and saying, I want to be a vegetarian, it's like, okay, great. Well, let's explore this other new element of food then.
Did you test all of the recipes in this book on your son?
Yes, I did. I tested them on my son. We took a whole year, and we cooked all these recipes over and over again. And I even tested them at my son's preschool. I'd bring in things. We cooked together at the preschool, and I'd bring things into the preschool. So they're kid approved.
Do your kids cook with you, Mark?
Absolutely. I love getting them involved. And it's great, I guess, if you lived in the country. Of course, I live here in New York City, so I can't. But going to a farm, and we go apple picking, and we do things like that. But out in the country. But what I always find interesting, we can sort of have that same thing going on in New York. You go to the grocery store and you riding around in the car, it's like, okay, go pick the parsley. Go get two bunches of parsley. Have them find it. Have them explore for it. Even in a grocery store, it's like, you know, they'll come back and they'll say, is this parsley? Well, smell it. Let's taste it. It's cilantro. This is not parsley. You know, this is what, and it's fun to see that. And then when you're going to go home and they're like, oh, what's the parsley going in? You know, that's what they get excited about because they help pick it out.
There are now programs in some of our schools to have kids grow the vegetables, and all of those kids seem to be a lot more enthusiastic as eaters. We recently did a thing with kids who have an egg club. They have chickens in a school up in the Bronx, and they know more about eggs and chickens than anybody would imagine. Because if you get them involved in this sort of thing, they become very enthusiastic. But we mentioned pasta. The book contains a number of recipes for macaroni and cheese. Are they much of an improvement over noodles with butter?
I mean, as far as I was born in Italy, so I think pasta is a very important part of anybody's diet. I think everything in moderation. I think you can have...
Mark Murphy was born in Italy?
Yes, it's a little strange, but yes, I was. I lived there about 9 years of my life. If I don't have pasta at least twice a week, I start getting the shakes. Mm-hmm. But I think that everything in moderation. Macaroni and cheese is fine. As long as you don't eat it, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 days a week.
Well, why do you think so many kids enjoy eating things like SpaghettiOs?
Well, you know, fast food is a whole other conversation. How they, you know, I mean, it's true. They really have the recipes that people just crave.
I guess the answer is not to ever open a can of SpaghettiOs.
No, the idea of having the macaroni and cheese recipes in the book is to engage the kids in cooking together. So it's very different to make a box of macaroni and cheese versus sitting there making it together. And then once you learn the ingredients, you can start to talk about how to change it up and tasting different things. And it's just, you know, a foundation, say, for a kid that's picky to eat something. And then say, well, hey, how about we change it up this way? And And then you get them on the road to eating new things.
And then there are recipes for things like curry chickpea salad and nori chips. These are flavors people normally think kids wouldn't like.
Kids can be very surprising. When you don't restrict their eating, when you let them choose what they want to eat, when you really just throw open the doors to the pantry, they will really surprise you.
What are the most difficult years for kids in eating?
Well, I spoke to Marcia Pelchat, who is a food biopsychologist, and she said the real opportunity to get kids to broaden their eating is by the age of two. And so at that time, developmentally, kids do start to shut down their eating. It makes sense from a biological standpoint. Kids are much more mobile, and they really can kind of put anything in their mouths. And so it makes a little sense that they would restrict their eating that way. But it's not the time to help them do that. It's still a time to keep having them eat new things and to keep challenging them and making it fun for them.
Mark, do you have any advice for people whose kids see their peers eating Lunchables and McDonald's and other junk foods, but don't want their kids to have them?
I mean, my only advice, and what I do with my kids is I don't forbid anything. I definitely wouldn't let that. Look, if they want to try McDonald's, go ahead, have one. But hopefully you're making better food. They're not going to end up liking it that much. But I think if you start forbidding things like candy, like you never get any candy. I mean, I've known people, actually some relatives of mine. I remember when I came back to America when I was living in Europe, you know, they got their allowance and they ran to the candy store and put it in bags and went home and hoarded it. And I was like, I don't like candy. I was never not allowed not to have candy. And you just, you know, if you forbid everything, then of course they're going to want to do it.
Well, Tony Bourdain tells the story of trying to make Ronald McDonald into an evil clown for his kids to scare them off of McDonald's. We have some recipes from the cookbook, red bean and walnut spread, curried chickpea salad, savory waffles, and a risotto recipe. And Fanny, I'm so sorry I've been mispronouncing your name. I was told it was Fanny. But I now, your sister is called in to tell us it's actually Fanny. Fanny Aaron is the author of What Chefs Feed Their Kids. Chef Mark Murphy is at the Landmark and Ditch Plains restaurants. Thank you both so much for being on our show today.
Thank you very much.